A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
So, you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, November 24th. I think that sounds right. It's a Tuesday, I know that, which means only one thing. It's a big boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal will be joining us. Now, we've got Big Jim Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We have Maz on remote. We've got myself on remote. We've got Bedard on remote. So this should be good. Maz, are you there?
A lot of moving pieces.
A few too many. Greg, come in. Can you hear me?
I am here.
Okay, excellent. So we got delays. Let's not talk over each other, shall we? Try not to anyway. When Maz says something really stupid, Greg, you're just going to have to hold your thought for him to finish the sentence, and then you can jump in. But let's begin with this question. You see, you've already started. Let's begin with this question, Greg. What bugged you most about that loss on Sunday in Houston?
The defense. It was terrible. The defensive plan. It was completely flaccid to me. They had 13 three-man rushes, 31 four-man rushes. So basically, they just went with the game plan approach of, gee, I hope Deshaun Watson's off and maybe he throws us one. And that really didn't work out very well. I mean, what's depressing, and really I was depressed after watching the defensive film, because it just felt like one of these old aging heavyweights like Larry Holmes or Jerry Cooney, who can barely hold up their trunks for crying out loud, climbing into the ring for one last payday against the up and comer. And then they get out there and they realize they don't have anything. They're hoping maybe they land one shot, and the Patriots just couldn't do that. What was depressing about it is that we went from 1 week ago, we were talking about how great the Patriots game plan was. They come out against the Ravens. They set a hard edge. They got, double hanging defenders. They set a double edge to play the game on their terms, to make it in a telephone booth where the Ravens line can't block it up and force Lamar Jackson to throw the ball. And he can't do that. And it was great. And Belichick and the Patriots had their mojo back. Two-game winning streak. And then they come out a week later. Did they take the week off, the defensive coaching staff? Did they just say, all right, we're done here. We did well enough against the Ravens, because they brought nothing to the table in this game. No creative pressures, no amoeba, no trick coverages, no robber covers, no trap coverages, just nothing. They just basically said, you know what? We're going to hope they take up a lot of the clock. Maybe they throw us one. Maybe we get a tip pass, because other than that, we're not going to try to do anything. They let the Texans play the game completely on their terms, and they just sat there and took it.
Did they expect Deshaun Watson to suck?
Right.
That's what it seemed like. That's what it seemed like the plan was. And I don't know what game they watched last year, but he certainly didn't suck in that game. And he hasn't sucked a whole lot this year, especially since Bill O'Brien's been gone. He's been pretty good. They just basically spread out the Patriots, just picked them apart. I mean, he was precise. Certainly he was on, but they didn't try to force the issue at all. I mean, look at the Texans. The Texans in the second half, and this comes with getting the lead and playing the game on their terms, but they blitzed Cam Newton 12 out of the 15 times in the game in the second half. Like, how about, all right, Laremy Tunsil's not out there. They're one good offensive lineman. There's another lineman out. How about, I don't know, an overload blitz? How about, I don't know, a zone blitz here and there? They did some of that crap, but none of it was creative at all. I mean, it was just like they just decided to take the week off. It was inept. It was pathetic. And it really put the players in a no-win situation. And if I were in that secondary during that game and I saw some of this on film, it would have been, what the hell are we doing out here? Because we have no chance. The Patriots coaches sent their defensive players, especially the secondary, they hung them out to dry in this game.
So, Greg, I was wondering whether or not they put too much emphasis on Watson's ability to run. Because, and again, I was reading, you know, Mike Reese this morning, sort of some spillover thoughts. And Reese said that the defensive linemen made reference to the fact that they wanted to, you know, basically mush rush so that Watson wouldn't be able to run on them. And in the process, they let him sit back there and pick him apart. I just wonder if they were so terrified of him running that they ended up sacrificing pass defense as a result.
I mean, that might have been the thinking, but you could still do other things. I mean, you know, you could have a blitz. You could, you know, and still have, you know, sort of a match defender for Watson. You could do a whole lot of different things. They went after Russell Wilson. Look, it didn't work in Seattle. You know, he put up a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns, but at least they went after him and tried to do some things, and they almost got it out of there with a victory. And Deshaun Watson's good. I don't think he's Russell Wilson. So why not try some of that plan? I mean, they are very similar players in that they are looking to throw before they run, as opposed to Jackson or even, you know, Kyler Murray, who they'll see this week. But there are certainly other things they could have tried in this game, and I don't really care if they were must rushing. We all know that's part of the plan when they play an athletic quarterback. But that doesn't excuse not doing anything. I mean, whatever happened to the amoeba defense on this team? I mean, you know, I see a bunch of guys out there, whether it's Adrian Phillips, Devin McCourty played closer to the line in this game. You know, you have John Simon, Chase Winovich has been here. Phillips is a veteran. You have, you know, yes, you have Kyle Duggar and Josh Uche, who played a season high 22 snaps Sunday, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who even noticed him out there. You have players, you have even your top two rookie draft picks who've, it's now week 11. Like, you should be able to come up with something. Where is the, I don't know who's rushing. Who are we going to block? What are we going to do? There's just none of that. It's week 11, and they were just inept in this game.
Okay, so this sort of ties to a second point. And folks out there, if you want to join us on any spillover thoughts from that game against Houston, 617-779-0985. We're definitely going to get to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers last night. That's going to be on the table. You can join us on that. But that sort of leads to another thing that you sent us this morning, Greg. And you wrote that all this second-guessing, I see you mentioned all those defensive schemes or lack thereof. And I would say Steve Belichick, you know, or the Gerard Mayo, you know, who's the defensive coordinator? Where's the scheming? A lot of people had problems with Josh McDaniels and his offensive game plan in this ballgame, going away from the run, perhaps. Maz, myself, feel Cam Newton is lacking, not quite good enough to get you over the top in these close games. You think if you are bringing up those points or pointing the finger there, is that obfuscating something else, Greg, if you know what I mean?
Well, look, I went into watching the offensive film last night, and I went in wanting to find issues with the offensive game plan and the choices that they made in the game. Because, you know, like you, I don't think I think he had 13, 14 touches in the game, Damian Harris. And to me, that's not enough, because I think he is your best offensive player right now. And when that happens, he should get a minimum number of touches. I think it's a little early to say he's earned the star treatment, but I think he's getting there. And I actually think some of the runs early in this game, I think some of his runs actually should have went for losses, but he was so good at turning the corner. He made something out of nothing. And that shows me that he's going places, that this kid is something special. And I think he does deserve that treatment. But when I went back and I watched the game, Mike, I had a hard time finding places where they were really missing the running game. I mean, look, they had Burkhead in there at times. They had White. yeah, people will say like, well, that's not his strength. Well, you know, I hear the complaint, well, Damian Harris is in the game, they don't, or Sony Michel, and they don't throw to him. So they're one-dimensional. Well, the same is true with James White. Like, if you want James White on the field and he's one of your best players, which he is, you can't just throw it every down that he's in. So you do have to mix in some runs. But I tried hard, Mike. I really did. I wanted to come on here, and I actually wanted to write a column today that said the Patriots lost this game because they forgot who they were. Because a week ago we were talking about, okay, they know who they are now. They're a running team. They're bully ball on offense. This is what they do on defense. This is what they do well. They figured out who they are, and then they win against it in Houston. I found myself saying that about the defense. I wanted to say it about the offense, but I just couldn't find the data and the examples to back it up. I mean, even people talk about like, oh, well, they went right through the Houston Texans on the opening drive. Well, you know, people kind of forget that the Patriots threw for 34, 17, 7 yards, like 70% of their yards on the opening drive were through the air. So I tried. I couldn't find examples of it.
Well, I mean, let me help you what I was leading it to, because you wrote, you know, your email, all this Cam Newton or Josh McDaniels or Steve Belichick hate helps people avoid pointing the finger where it really belongs, because it would mess up their worldview. And the finger belongs and deserves to be pointed at Belichick, you say. This team lost down in Houston last year in a similar fashion, and they finished 4-5. This loss on Sunday concludes a 4-6 start this year. So if my math is right, you say they are 8-11 since going to Houston last year, and the results were not better with Brady. You write, this team is just not good enough, period. Nice reminder when a third rounder and a fourth rounder are released after doing jack squat. Now, I don't even know what you're talking about there, but either way, you say point the finger at Belichick.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my column after the game on Sunday night. That's what I came away with. I mean, basically, the game last year down there and the game this year down there were largely the same. I mean, the Patriots trailed 21-3 last year. People were questioning the quarterback and the talent around him. Last year, I went back and I watched the game, and I remember I wrote how much of the blame is on Brady and McDaniels, and I said not much. And I come back that I'm in the same place this year. And to me, you are what your record is, especially after 19 games. They are 8-11 since going to Houston last year. And to me, that just tells you this team is not good enough. And people want to rant and rave. They want to scream at Josh McDaniels. Damian Harris. You know, Cam Newton comes up short. Look, you can make that argument. There are other arguments that I would make in terms of, you know, people missing, not executing key blocks here and there throughout the game that could have been touchdowns or humongous plays. People will point the finger at Bill, you know, the defensive game plan, Steve Belichick, and what have you. But that's just because they don't want to twist themselves into a pretzel because Tom's gone. Bill's the only thing here. They don't want to face reality. And the reality is the Patriots are just not good enough. They're just not. I mean, how much more evidence do you need over 19 games to say this team is not good enough, period?
I've gotten there. This one did me in. Yeah, that's I finally reached that point. Coaching's not enough to overcome it. The quarterback play, certainly Cam Newton's not enough to overcome it. And you make the point, second half of last year, Brady wasn't even enough to overcome it. And maybe even the present day Brady couldn't overcome it, which is something we will get to. But your phones with Greg Bedard right after this.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap. Where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's obviously various determinants on how you go about using the pass rush, but have you been pleased with what you've seen in terms of generating pressure on quarterbacks this year?
I think there's a lot of things we can do better this year defensively. So.
Was Bill's answer to that? Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, Greg, I agree with you. My number one frustration from the game was I just felt they let Deshaun Watson pick him apart. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, go in with that plan because you don't trust Deshaun Watson's accuracy. Fine. Like, I would even agree with you. I did not expect Watson to throw the ball like that. But after that first series, and I'm talking about really the second Houston series, where he was on the money, you know, and then going forward into that half, it was clear Deshaun Watson was going to be able to complete the ball. And they never really, it felt to me like took him out of his rhythm, Greg.
Completely agree. I mean, I had them, they generated pressure on 17% of the snaps.
Oh.
Watson was completely unbothered in the pocket, largely. He was in complete control of the game. And when you see that, look, I mean, equate it to other sports. I mean, you know, in basketball, if a guy's got it going, you have to do something to disrupt him, throw extra defenders at him, you know, what have you. Like, you need to do – at some point when Watson is in complete control like that, like he was, especially in the second quarter, you need to do something. You need to throw an all-out blitz or just something different. You need to try to get a hit on him, stop his rhythm, something like that. And the Patriots just – rolled over the whole game. I mean, they just showed no ability to counterpunch, you know, anything like that. And if they couldn't do that against, look, I understand Deshaun Watson's an extreme talent, and he is playing the best ball of his career right now, without question. And he does have talent around him that you have to worry about, and speed that you have to have a plan for, but. At the base, they still have a terrible offensive line, and they made them look like the old Redskins hogs, for crying out loud, on Sunday.
And Greg, you said 17% of is what the pressure rate was on him, which, just for people who don't know, that number is very low. And honestly, as you said that, I thought your number was way too high. Based on really watching the game, I thought I would have guessed the number was even lower. It felt like they could never get near him.
Yeah, Maz, and you bring up a good point. Now, when I tabulate pressure, when I give somebody a hurry or whatnot, it's when I think the quarterback is affected in the pocket. And so you may affect Watson in the pocket, but then he rolls out 5 or 6 feet and he's fine and he completes a pass. So in reality, you know, what would be a hurry against, say, a pocket quarterback like a Tom Brady is different than like Deshaun Watson, because, you know, he might feel token pressure a little bit and then he just buys himself time. He's still in complete control of the play. So yeah, you're right. Probably in actuality, the number is a lot lower for Deshaun. If you asked him how many snaps he felt under duress in this game, he might have said zero.
Let's get some calls in with Greg Bedard here. Jacob in New Hampshire, lead us off today. Hi.
Hey, Greg. I just want to ask, because can Cam Newton not see a blitz right in front of his face? Like, the Texans are literally telling him. They could, like, literally verbally told him that they were coming with a blitz, and he would do absolutely nothing. Is he just not seeing it, or is he just not – does he not have the controls of the offense? What's going on there?
Okay, Greg.
Well, you bring up a couple good points. Number one, he doesn't have the control of the offense that Brady does. This is something we talked about earlier in the year, and I said for this offense to get to the next point, they're going to have to – Cam's going to have more controls. And I think we saw a Texans team that very well understands the Patriots protection screens if they see certain looks, how they're going to do things. And they also know that Cam isn't Tom Brady and doesn't have the ability to change plays and things like that. Now, that being said, in this game, there were only – two pressures that I put on Cam Newton, and those were just him making decisions late where he took a hit where he could have gotten the playoff quicker. The other ones that you saw, including the humongous first and 10 front side sack later in the game, that was a humongous play in the game. That was not blocked properly. That was on Ryan Izzo, along with he had a bunch of mistakes in this game. But and the pressure on the final play of the game, that was Jermaine Illuminor not picking up who he's supposed to pick up. So to me, it's more in the execution. I know it looks like it's Cam, but I'm telling you, it's not. People are out there. People get paid to do jobs. They're not doing it. The Patriots offensively had a lot of production for the most part in the game. They had a couple of key execution breakdowns that really cost them, and I would not put them on Newton.
Okay, so more on Newton coming up. I have some other questions for you on that, but let's get some more calls. Ryan and Bill Ricker, go.
So, Greg, we're supposed to have a good secondary, and, you know, for years now, I haven't seen it, and is this just because we have no pass rush? Because they're relatively good in the secondary. I mean, besides Jason McCourty, I think he blows, but besides him, you know, I think we got a good secondary.
Have we overrated the secondary, Bedard?
I don't think so. I think what you're seeing is, at least a year ago for most of the season, and you could go back to the end of the 2018 season as well when they were doing the amoeba package, you have to marry the pass rush and the coverage. You can't have one or the other. You don't have one without the other. And so the Patriots right now cannot generate any pressure whatsoever, probably without bringing a whole, you know, a zero blitz. And even those aren't getting home for them when they decide to do them. So to me, most of it is on the lack of pass rush. Now, I will say, you know, in this game, something that I've been asking for a while, Jason McCourty was more in the Daron Harmon role. Devin McCourty got more into his old robber role, which this is really the first time I saw it, and it gives them the ability to do a few things more coverage-wise down the stretch. But it wasn't good on Sunday, and another one of my takeaways with the defense in this game is that I wonder, Devin's got a lot of miles on him this season, a lot of snaps. I thought the Watson running him over at the goal line was a bad sign. He's starting to show his age to me.
So, I mean, I'll say that I think that I'm not saying the coverage was perfect, but at least on that first Houston scoring drive, the coverage was right there. And Watson, you know, was so comfortable that he was able to put it right on the outside shoulder or right where he had to be. And it's not like there were blown coverages in this game.
Yep.
Maybe Duggar, you know, a couple. But for the most part, I just think Watson was super comfortable and super accurate. Let me put these two calls back to back quickly. Bob and Milbury, go.
Yes. Okay. Greg, I think you basically said a lot what I would endorse. Basically, the defense, it was terrible. And the reason why I say this was, and I actually blame it more on coaching than I do on the players. Now, number one, the linebackers. As soon as I saw 59 in the game, I knew there was going to be missed tackles. The best linebacking that they had was actually when they put Winovich as an inside linebacker with Phillips against the Jets. And right now, in the game, when 59 went out, I mean, Jennings went in. Now, Jennings, in every single down that he played for Alabama, he was on the right side. And if they would have just pushed him out to the right and put Winovich in the middle, that would have been one thing.
Let me stop you there. Does he got anything on that, Greg, before he gives me too much, right side, left side?
Well, in general, yes. I mean, if I was designing a defense tomorrow for this team to play well on a down-and-down basis, I would have Bentley and Winovich as the inside linebackers. Jennings is a side topic. I did not think he was good in this game. I don't think he's been very good this year. He needs a lot of refinement. You know, but I will say in this game, and I know I heard some calls about Bentley and Hall and whatnot. Look, this was a game where the defensive line was controlling the rushing game, and the secondary, most of the Houston Texans plays were in the secondary from, you know, 10 to 30 yards. To me, this was not a game where the linebackers factored in very much positively or negatively.
Okay, real quick, Chris and Everett also blames the coaches. Go, Chris, quickly, please.
All right, how's it going, guys? I just had a question. I completely agree with the whole assessment of this being Bill's fault. I mean, from the mismanagement, the draft picks, everything else. I'm just curious, how many seasons of this type of play do you give him before he has to answer for some of these misgivings and not lay it back on those, you know, six Super Bowl rings?
Okay, when you say answer, Maz, I know you and Jimmy Stewart are big on this. How long is Belichick's rope?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think if they're in the same spot a year from now, I think the Kraft's patience will be tested. That's the best way to say it. I think it's on the table. I'm not saying that they're doing it, but I'm telling you, a year from now, if they're in the same boat, if they are a 4-6 football team, and more importantly, have a talent shortage on both sides of the ball, which is what they have now, I think the Kraft start to run out of patience and say, hey, how many? Because it's not just two drafts. We got to go back, you know, three that he had with Brady. And so you're talking here now 5-6 drafts in a row where you've come up with nothing and we have a shortage of talent and the product on the field is not getting better. It's getting worse. I think they start to question whether or not time has passed them by.
So, Greg, we just have 30 seconds. We'll circle back to this, but it is Maz's and Stu's take. I don't agree with it, but I love it. And that is, Belichick's basically coaching for his job next year. How do you like that one?
I would not completely rule it out. I mean, I don't know where I heard this from, so excuse me if somebody out there told me and I forgot it. But I remember the oft-told story is that somebody asked one of the Krafts when they saw Belichick treating them poorly out to the side, like, when are you going to can that a-hole? And, you know, the popular response is as soon as he starts to lose. So I don't know if there's how much truth there is into that, but that's a popular story that's gone around. I mean, I do think, look, 8-11 plus, you know, do they climb out of it next year? Or are they still a below 500 team? We'll see.
Okay, so there's no doubt the fact that he's an a-hole gives him a shorter leash. Like that, that I totally agree with, and we all should agree with. You just have to define what that leash is. Is it one more year, two more year, you know? But I totally believe that story. I bet that story gets said every other day down there and has for 20 years. Let's do three up, three down with Bedard right after Big Jim Murray's up.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks. He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, studs and duds from the game. Three up, three down is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventive screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. Number one star, Greg.
Damier Byrd. I thought he was tremendous in this game, made plays. You know, I don't know what the deal is. Are the Patriots now, are they just going to have a receiver roulette every week on somebody who gets all the passes? Or what the deal? And can maybe we see Damier Byrd back on a kickoff instead of Gunnar Olszewski? Like, you know, he looks pretty quick with the ball in his hands.
Here, here.
I'd like to make a motion that when the need arises, we go to one up and five down. Because this week it was one play. I had trouble finding two and three. Number one was Damier Byrd. End of story. That's it.
Tell me who you've got two and three, Greg.
I have Shaq Mason. I thought that he played really well in this game. He had an outstanding one-on-one pass block against J.J. Watt at one point in time where he was, like, riding him for, like, 4 minutes, it seemed like. And I thought Lawrence Guy basically shut down the running game by himself.
So when in doubt, Maz, always go Lawrence Guy. Do you, Maz, not even want to do two and three?
Well, I would tell you the numbers two and three are Damier Byrd and Damier Byrd. Yeah. But if you force me to pick, I'll go with Jake Bailey and Nick Folk.
Okay, there you go. That's all that needs to be said there. Three down. Who is the biggest dud in this game, Greg?
Bill Belichick. This is his roster, his defensive game plan. Both were responsible for the loss, period.
Devin McCourty. I went Devin McCourty first. Greg, everything you said in the first segment or second segment rung true with me. I him getting trucked like he did at the goal line was an eye-opening thing to witness. And I don't want Devin McCourty to play beyond this year if the play's not going to get better because I respect him too much as a football player. And, you know, no sacred cows. He was not good in this game.
Number two, Greg.
Ryan Izzo. You know, I have a hard time seeing why he's on this roster anymore. Every week he's making a mistake. You know, now they have the guy who is Jordan Thomas who made his debut, who actually can block decently and get down the field. I want to see more of him. But, I mean, when Ryan Izzo, that third down swing pass to James White, to me, which basically it changed the entire game. The Patriots had the ball with about 4 or 5 minutes left in the first half. McDaniels calls this swing pass where everybody goes to the left. Izzo is supposed to pick, and it would be a legal pick right at the line of scrimmage. So all he literally has to do is take one step and stand there and get in the way. James White would have been completely open. On the coach's film, you see there is no defender on that half of the field. That entire right half of the field is open. James White would get to the 50. They would probably run out the first half, score, field goal, touchdown, what have you, maybe a double score to open the second half. Instead, Izzo completely whiffs on his block. White gets tackled. They have to punt. Watson leads them down and scores, and now it's 21-10. And, you know, largely the game is over where the Patriots are. And plus, that first and 10 sack of Newton, the caller asked about Newton, can he feel a blitz? Yes. When he knows there's a free rusher, that's his responsibility. That rusher should have been blocked. It should have been Izzo. It was just, it's just not good enough. It not even close to good enough.
Look, not that it's my job to pump Greg's website. There's video of these two plays on his website, BostonSportsJournal.com. They're unbelievable. I mean, they're unbelievable, the mistakes that Izzo made. I went with N'Keal Harry. So if he's not going to be a receiver, and by that I mean if he's not going to actually catch the ball and be a weapon in the passing game, does he have to commit penalties that undermine other people being receivers? Is that the deal? This guy was useless on Sunday. He was a negative, huge negative. N'Keal Harry's my number two.
Number three.
By the way, on that, I don't know who N'Keal Harry pissed off on this refereeing crew. I don't know if he dated one of their daughters or what.
Shaky, I agree.
But both of those fouls, one should have been on Damir Bird, the other one was on Jacoby Myers, and they called both of them on Harry. Harry didn't do anything on either play, yet he got called for the fouls.
Okay, some bad luck in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my number three was Devin McCourty. And look, I think I still believe that part of this, and largely this whole season, I think we would view Devin McCourty a lot differently if they actually had talent in the front seven. And a coaching staff that actually, you know, put the players in their best position instead of just heaping everything on the secondary. So I think they've been hung out to dry largely. But he was my number three down. I thought that he's starting to show his age. Some of it isn't his fault, but that's where he is.
Gunnar Olszewski was my third. And look, I always have respect for a little guy that tries to play in that league. But that dude belongs in the Arena League or in the CFL. He is not an NFL player.
All right, folks, right back to your calls, and we'll hit on Cam Newton and what Greg thinks of his game right now, right after these words.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger in Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the Texan 41.5. Snap back to Newton. Drops back. Come on. A lot of time. Come on. Moves up. Throws a long ball. Down the middle for Bird. Yeah! Catches for the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, it's about time. What a catch.
What a throw.
What a throw.
One of the highlights of the year in the Patriots passing game, that deep touchdown, Newton to Bird in that game. I just want to circle back, Greg, to something you said about Newton and the blitz and handling the rush, and now mostly it's missed assignments and not his fault. Without taking a deep dive at the tape myself, I just tell you what it looks like to me from the couch. And that is, I never see him do anything pre-snap that feels like he's adjusting to anything. Like, I don't feel like he moves guys across the formation. I don't feel like he changes up his cadence even or his snap count. I don't feel like there's much audible. I mean, every now and then I hear him say alert. You know, I think in the first play of the game he said alert. I just noticed it because I don't know how often he even says it. But I don't feel like there's anything really done when they come out of that huddle to change the play or adjust to what's going on the other side. At least it feels that way to me from where I'm sitting.
Big boy.
Am I supposed to be hearing him?
He's speaking. I don't think his mic's on.
Sorry.
His lips are moving. Go ahead. Start all over, Greg.
I actually prefer it that way.
That was actually – no, I was enjoying it. It was pleasant. But try it again.
Shut it, Maz. Both of you. What I was going to say was, no, I think you're largely correct. I think that most of the season, from what I've seen from Newton, the most controls he has at the line of scrimmage is to alert a play, which is basically it goes to the secondary, the tagged play, with the play that's called in the huddle. There's two plays called in the huddle. And he's increasingly started to get involved in declaring the mic, which – I'm not exactly sure how the Patriots do it, but normally it's the offensive liner is responsible for the four down linemen and then the mic. So whoever he identifies as the mic. So what's interesting is that sack play where Izzo didn't block out where he was supposed to, the guy on the edge, Cam, I remember watching this live and I can, you know, you can hear a lot now. And Cam at the last second declared 32, who was over to his left side as the mic, and I was like, "Oh crap! How the hell's this thing going to work right now?" And then they get sacked. I would have liked to. They had two. I think they had plenty of timeouts there. I would have liked to have seen them take a timeout there. I would have liked to have seen them take a timeout on fourth down as well, because I just didn't think things were settled. I didn't think they had things sorted out as far as the protection. Both of those plays, Izzo and then Illuminor on the final play, they just can't have those mistakes. But you're right. Newton does not have a lot of controls right now. And this offense is designed for that, because this is an offense that should provide all the answers to the question at the line of scrimmage or after the snap.
I just think whether it's him or the coaches or the trust of the coaches in him or the players, or it's Izzo or the players, they don't handle simple pressure well enough for me. And I feel like that's the biggest difference without Brady. But then I watched last night, and Brady completely is out of his own head with the pressure, which we're going to get to next hour. So maybe that wouldn't have been any better if Tom were still here. But I just feel like, especially those last two plays, it's like, come on, you know, they're bringing someone extra every snap down the stretch in that game, and they can't identify it, and he's a sitting duck, and he's chucking it into J.J. Watt's armpit. I mean, that to me should be better. That should be better. Let's grab Luke and Bridgewater, Billy, if you could pop him up, because I'm already frozen on line one. Luke and Bridgewater, what do you got for Bedard and Maz?
Hey, guys. I've heard a lot of the complaints about the defense, and I just don't see that it was the defensive fault this week in particular, especially giving up only 6 points in the second half. You know, I think the issue in that game, if you just use your eyes, was the quarterback play. And, Deshaun Watson is throwing, threading needles with frozen ropes time after time. You know, it wasn't the defense. But your quarterback, Greg, I wanted to ask you, we know who Brian Hoyer is, and Stidham throws half his passes for interceptions. Is Cam actually really the best guy for this job? And why does he throw balls into, I'm tired of hearing them being deflected. He's throwing them into their face masks and shoulder pads.
It is true. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, on the batted balls, and yes, it's frustrating. I understand, where people are coming from. Number one, there was a key one late in the game that was actually a Wenu's fault. He was supposed to cut J.J. Watt the time, and he didn't execute it, which often happens on quick passes that are supposed to go to the flat. A lot of the other ones do not involve that. And what I see on film is Cam stares down receivers. And so the defensive linemen, because they need to almost must rush him, they're not coming after him. So they're reading him. And when he starts staring around down receivers is when these guys are blocking passes. As far as Newton being the best guy for the job, No, I don't think he was. I mean, I thought that he was a good option for this team. I would have liked to have seen him without, COVID and that whole 3 week break, because I thought he was making progress. But I think he's part of the mix for next year. I think I'm still in the same category where, you ask, well, who's going to be the quarterback? What are they going to do next year? I will maintain this until the end. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens towards the end of the season. Let's see what happens with other people. I think that's what Belichick's going to do. He's going to surveil it. He's going to view cost over talent and all that stuff and make the best decision. But there are a lot of shoes to drop around the league before we get to that.
And Mike, just to, because the caller mentioned it, let's not let the defense off the hook here, okay? Because if you want to go this strength versus strength, Deshaun Watson is the best player on the field. The Patriots' best player is probably Stephon Gilmore. And if we want to boil it down to a positional group, it's their secondary. Now, I know there was no pass rush. It's not totally apples to apples. But the Patriots led this game 10-7 with 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. And Houston got two touchdowns before the half. So, you know, that game completely flipped in those 8 minutes. And the second one came with 2 minutes on the clock. Watson went right down the field and scored in a minute and 44 seconds, I think it was. That cannot happen.
Mike, one thing on that, on the whole offense versus defense. You know, look, the offense in this game had drives of 10 plays, 10 plays, 7 plays, 16 plays, 11 plays. This was not an inept offense in this game, and they really only had 8 real drives, and basically they had, you know, 5 really good drives. You know, a part of what people aren't talking about right now with this team is that this defense is not getting off the field enough. I mean, yes, you talk about 6 points, but you do realize that the Texans only had 3 real drives in the second half. They had drives of 11 plays, 67 yards, 8 plays, 47 yards. Yeah, 6 points, that's still not good defense. And the thing is, the Patriots are only getting about 8 possessions a game offensively. You know what the league average is? 11 or 12. And that's because the defense isn't getting off the field ever.
Okay, we have more of your thoughts on Cam Newton and the Patriots and where they stand. We are going to get to Tom Brady's night and that whole conversation. We'll do that in 10 questions coming up in about 20 minutes or so. But right back to your calls after Big Jim Murray's update. Takes 90 seconds, no commercials here.